Howdy, folks. This is the Words of Truth from the Scriptures podcast. My name is Brian Yeager. Today, we're going to talk about being an honorable, sanctified vessel. Kind of give you an idea of what we're talking about with a vessel. We'll look at a couple of quick passages, two or three here, real quick, and give you an idea of what the word vessel means and where we're going with this lesson. In John 19:29, when Jesus was crucified, says there was set a vessel full of vinegar. And he filled a sponge with vinegar and put hyssop and put it in his mouth. So the idea here is a container that held vinegar. In Acts chapter 9, when the apostle Paul is being converted, his conversion account that's given there, the Lord, and what I'm about to read is talking to Ananias, the evangelist that's going to help Paul in his conversion process. In Acts 9:15, the Lord says this to Ananias, and the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And then in an entirely different context, in 1 Peter chapter 3, after talking about the role of a woman who is, you know, the context starts off with she's married to an unbeliever and how if he will not be one with the word, he can be won by her conduct. And as you go through that text in verse 7, says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So the idea is some type of container or something being used fit for use, a vessel, a cup, etc. So let's say you're cleaning out your cupboard and you have plates and cups and whatever else in that cupboard, and you notice that, you know, some of these mugs that you've got stored in there have cracks in them, and you know, if you put something too hot or too cold in them, it's just going to shatter. What are you going to generally do with those? That's the idea of our lesson. You know, when the Lord takes a look at you, if you're cracked and you're broken, I mean, what's he going to want to do with you if you're not meet for the master's use? To give you an idea of the thought process behind this lesson, in Revelation 4:11, context here, John is having a vision into heaven. And in that vision, the Lord is being worshiped. And in verse 11, they're falling down before the Lord and saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Mankind kind of has it a little bit backwards today. Mankind thinks that we were created for our own pleasure. That is backwards. We were created for his pleasure. And I don't mean that to sound like it's some sort of bondage. I don't mean it to sound like it, you know, it's some kind of forced labor. We have free will. You can choose to serve God or not. And if you choose to serve God, his commandments, his instructions are not burdensome. They're not grievous. 1 John 5:2 and 3. Jesus says, you know, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Matthew 11:28 through 30. Being a Christian is not a difficult, hard, uphill journey that you can't ever feel like you finish if you understand the scriptures correctly, that is. It's a life of peace and harmony with the hope of eternity at the end. But in the process, if you're hoping to have eternity at the end, you do have to ask this question. Am I an honorable, sanctified vessel? Am I meet for my master's use? See, when we look at what Christians are built upon, there's a foundation there. Back in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 through 22 says, built upon the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, and you are built together for the habitation of God through the Spirit. So Christians have a foundation, the apostles, the prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. And that building being built upon Jesus, when Paul was talking to the congregation in Corinth, writing unto them. Of course, you go back into chapter 1, there was a lot of carnality, a lot of division. And chapters 1, 2, and 3, and into chapter 4 is trying to get them to stop exalting the man that taught them and the man that baptized them, and stop exalting the wisdom of the world and all the carnality that is there, to understand the difference between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom, the mind of God and the mind of men. In chapter 3, in the midst of that context, verses 1 through 11, says, I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as the babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another saith, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For ye are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation that we, if we're Christians, the building of God, are built upon. So it's an unshakable foundation. Back in Luke chapter 6, 46 through 49, Jesus asks this question, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And then he goes on to say, whomsoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you unto whom he is like. He is like a man that built his house and dig deep and laid a foundation on a rock, and the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was built upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against the which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So if you're going to examine yourself and you're saying, I'm not an honorable, sanctified vessel, meet for the master's use, then you're not built upon the right foundation. You're not in Christ and upon Christ. There's a root problem there, a foundational issue there. It's like when you look at a house and you see all kinds of structural problems, and you try to get to the root of the problem, you find out it's the foundation. So many people that I have Bible studies with, the problem with their faith is not that they don't love Jesus. It's that their faith is not built upon Jesus. Yes, they were taught that Jesus died and buried and was risen on the third day, but the rest of what they were taught was corrupted. And therefore, everything that they've built upon it has led them down the wrong roads. So they are broken vessels. They're not meats for the master's use. And that's when it comes time to say, okay, well, if I recognize that I'm not meat for the master's use, I don't want to be thrown in the trash. I need to go back and fix something. And generally speaking, you got to go back to the beginning. You got to go back and do the first works, like the church in Ephesus was told when they left their first love in Revelation 2, 1 through 7. You got to go back and do the first work. Go back to the beginning. You want to be what Paul referred to as an earthen vessel. You want to be profitable. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, as this epistle is being written, of course, as you, if you go through and you read 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you know some of the people in Corinth didn't think very highly of the Apostle Paul. In fact, they would, in chapter 11, rather listen to false teachers, false apostles being caught up in the accolades that they carried about. Chapter 12, and verse 15, the more abundantly Paul loved them, the less he was loved. It's really sad to look at that here's an apostle of Jesus Christ who put his life on the line to teach the gospel to people, and they didn't love him in return. That's backwards. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he talked about, to some degree, the points of our lesson. In verses 1 through 7, he says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge and glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." So the treasure is the gospel. The man is the earthen vessel. When we look at ourselves as that we are vessels, that we are part of God's cupboard, kind of get the idea of the question of our lesson. You know, we belong to the Lord. Our body, our soul, in 1 Corinthians 6:20, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. So when we think about our actions, what I do with my flesh, is that glorifying my Father, which is in heaven? I dare say that some people might rethink some of their decisions if they put that into better application. My body belongs to the Lord. What am I doing with it? And the soul being the obvious point. When a person is converted, the choice is made to yield, to give oneself to be instruments of righteousness. That's the point in Romans chapter 6, 3 and following. It says, "Know ye not, so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. If we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." So when you take a step back, are you an instrument of righteousness unto God? Are you being able to be used for the good of the kingdom? Our question comes from a text that was written to an evangelist, Timothy. It's in 2 Timothy 2:19 through 21. It says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house that are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these," notice that language, "if a man therefore purge himself for these." So what we're going to talk about and have been talking about is in your control. So I come back. "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." So let's put some things into our minds right away. If you are a vessel in the Lord and you are his house, you are his vessel from which his glory is going to be had, that is not something that is granted to you and then you have it as a given. Being the Lord's house is conditional. In Hebrews, the third chapter, it says, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, considering the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful in him that appointed him, as Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he has builded the house, hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which shall be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if, here's our conditional phrase, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. This is a huge passage in our lesson. Of course, I think all of them are. You know, it'd be hard to say, well, let's eliminate this verse or eliminate this verse. As I go through the process of preparing this particular lesson, a lot of verses come to mind. Hebrews 3:1-6 being one of them. You have to be, if you're in Christ's house, somebody who holds fast the confidence, and not just temporarily. The language was firm unto the end. So it's not, I started off right, or what I've done in the past will hold me over. It's a continual process. Before Jesus left this earth, and he was talking to the Jews in John 8:31-32, he said to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word. Notice, they believed on him, and yet we're told, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If I'm going to be a vessel in the Lord, if I'm going to be the Lord's house, it's going to have to be a continual process. And that's based on my choices, right? It's based on what I decide to do. If I go back and I think about what we read in 2 Timothy 2:19-21, if I purge myself from the dishonorable, well, that's a choice I have to make. In Psalm 34:14, depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. Similarly, Psalm 37:27, depart from evil, do good, and dwell evermore. I've got to make that choice. I also have to make the choice to continue in the faith. Colossians 1:23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which is preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So it's not just, I became a Christian, and now all things are good. I'm a sanctified vessel. I'm meet for the master's new. No, you got to continue to be. You know, you go back to the cupboard illustration. You go out and you buy that nice new vessel, plate, cup, whatever you want to say, and it's wonderful. You pull it out of the box, you wash it, you put it in your cupboard, you're going to use it. Well, you know, next time you pull it out of the cupboard, you drop it on the floor, cracks, breaks. It's not meat for use anymore, right? Sometimes people get the idea that being in Christ and being a Christian means you're brand new all the time. No, you have to continue. That's up to you. You have to continue. You can't go backwards. In Ephesians 4:17-22, this I say therefore in testifying the Lord, that you walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves under lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him, been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. You've got to continue to walk the walk. You can't go backwards. You can't walk like you did when you were a sinner. When we talk about the language, in the Lord's house, those that are there are those that have departed from iniquity, not those that have continued therein. No, that doesn't work. When we talked about the language of in a great house, the great house that we want to be is what Jesus established when he was talking to Peter and said, thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16:18. When 1 Timothy 3:15, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. The house we want to be members of, the household we want to be in, is the Lord's church. But like everything we have indicated already, that has to be something we have to continue to stay in, be part of. We want to be those vessels unto honor. To the church in Thessalonica, an interesting little different phrasing of some of this, in 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 6, says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is avenger of all such. So we have also forewarned you and testified." So here you have being somebody that possesses his vessel in sanctification and honor. You have sexual connotation to that in this text. You also have the lesson of don't go and take advantage of your brother in any matter. It's not just give me a short list of things that I need to do to be a vessel meet for the master's use. It's like we had a podcast some time ago. It's observing all things, Matthew 28:20. It's everything. If I'm going to be meet for the master's use, I've got to be somebody that my Lord can depend upon to act according to what pleases him in all things and everything. And it has to be that continual process. In Romans 2:7-10, it's through patient continuance and well-doing. Notice this to them in the context. He's talking about the hypocrites in Rome, the judgment of God. He says, "To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor, immortality, eternal life." Patient continuance and well-doing. That's what we have to have. If you read down through verse 10, "But to them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile." Of course, the church in Rome, they had some division there where Jews thought they were better than the Gentiles and the Gentiles thought they were better than the Jews. Well, this summarizes it up. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, you have to continue to do good if you want eternal life. Later in that context, in verse 23, he's talking to the hypocrites. "Thou that makest thy boast of law, through breaking law, dishonorest thou God." If I want to be a vessel unto honor, it's going to be through patient continuance and well-doing, not being a vessel that dishonors my Lord. Now, there's language that we talked about in 2 Timothy 2:19-21, where we saw being a vessel unto honor sanctified and meet for the master's use. Let's think about that. To be sanctified is to be made holy, to be consecrated. If you were to pull out your Strong's Concordance and look up some terms at Strong's number 37, let's think on that. In 1 Corinthians 1:2, the church is addressed as the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them which are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all them that in every place call upon the name of the Lord, name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Sanctification. When we look at the scriptures, sanctified through the truth, John 17:17, sanctified through thy truth, thy word is truth. Faith is part of the sanctification process in Acts 26:18, to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, in Christ, 1 Corinthians 1:30. "But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, After being washed, the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, know you not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Well, how were they washed? Well, they hearing, believed, and were baptized, Acts 18:8. Baptism is part of the washing process, Acts 22:16. Now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Well, it's not the only part of the process. In Ephesians 5:25 and 26, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So we have a lot of components in there in our sanctification and our washing and our being made holy. The point is, we have our part in being meat for the master's use. We have to purge ourselves from the dishonorable. And then when we surrender ourselves to the truth and have faith in the truth in our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're washed, and that's not all you have to do to be saved. I'm not giving you some kind of simplified plan of salvation here. That's not part of the lesson. This lesson is about people who are thinking they're already Christians, thinking that they're already in the body. Well, it's going back to that foundation. Am I sanctified? Am I meet for the master's use? And yes, part of that would be questioning what you did to become a Christian. You know, nowhere in the Bible is someone told to accept Jesus into their heart to be saved or to say a sinner's prayer. In fact, the opposite is said, God heareth not sinners, right? John 9:31. Nowhere in there in the Bible does it say that you're saved by faith alone or saved by grace alone or somehow combining the two. No, nowhere in the Bible does it say you're saved by baptism alone either. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you're sanctified and made holy and saved through, you know, buying some kind of oil or some kind of putting your hand on the radio while you're driving down the road or all the crazy things that have been said over the years. And if I've given you something to think about there, you feel free to contact me and we can study and we can talk about it. My contact information is available on the podcast channel you're listening to. I'll give it to you at the end of the podcast as well. Well, so through the truth, by faith in Christ, being washed, that makes you one with him that sanctified you. It says, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. One with Jesus. The sanctification process, we have our part, he has his part. And then what you have to look forward to if you continue, everything that we've talked about already in this lesson. In Acts 20:32, Paul is conversing in Ephesus and says, now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. People that have been sanctified, if they continue in the faith, right? Romans 6:22. Now being made free from sin, become servant of God. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. We have to look forward to the end. We have to keep going. And it's kind of interesting. In Romans 6 and verse 22, the term holiness is from a Greek word, hagisimos, or I'm not sure if that's the right pronunciation, but it's often translated as sanctification. It means purification. It means purity. It means holiness. It's Strong's number 38. So holiness, when we think about that, what it is to be holy, have your fruit unto holiness. It's looking forward, continuing in the process of, you're not just made holy, you're not just sanctified, and then forever therein. No, you have to keep doing that work, your part. Can't just say God did his part, now I'm just going to kick back, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. No, that's not the way it's supposed to go. As sanctified people, you still have responsibility to live aright in this world. In Hebrews 12, verse 14, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Think about that. Follow peace and holiness. See, it's not just, I've got it. I'm locked in. I'm sanctified. I'm good. No, it's a continual process. It's work that you got to keep doing. You got to keep asking yourself. You got to keep examining yourself. You got to keep doing the work. What can I do to be meet for the master's use? So people who have been called by the gospel, so that's a whole other subject, right? If the world has all these I've been called statements, don't know where they're getting those ideas from other than false teachers who have expressed things in ways to lead people to think that, you know, they saw some kind of road sign and that was their calling, or they got in a car accident and God woke them up or something like that. No, that's not at all how the Lord works. Your calling, 2 Thessalonians 2:14, He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He called us according or through the gospel unto holiness. In 1 Thessalonians 4:7, God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. So think about that. When I'm asking myself, am I a sanctified vessel? Am I an honorable vessel? Am I meet for the master's use? Well, if I examine my life, is my life holy or is it unclean? You know, it's either or. It's not slightly dusty. It's not a little cracked. Either or. Our walk is a walk of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. So when we're looking about sanctified people walking in this world, I've got to look at myself and examine myself, say, am I walking the walk? Not just talking the talk. I've met some very corrupt people in my life that use phrases like, thank you, Jesus, and praise the Lord. And then they turn around and do the most vile, corrupt things you could imagine. And people that so-called walk with the Lord, I just want to remind you, there was a guy named Judas. He walked with the Lord literally. But he was a thief, John 12, 1 through 6. In Matthew 27, he betrayed our Lord for 30 pieces of silver into the hands of those that crucified him. He was a vessel dishonor. He was not meet for the master's use. He was a corrupted man. There are Judases sometimes in the body of Christ this very day. Before they go out and hang themselves, take lessons like this and step back and say, you know what? I'm not going to make it. I need to fix myself before I'm cast out that cupboard. I need to make myself useful. However, and unfortunately, what a lot of people do is they take their salvation for granted. I've met older people. I really think this is a sad point, but I've known a lot of older people that whether or not they've ever been in the faith, I cannot tell. But at the end of the road, they surrendered and walked away from the Lord. And it was almost in conversations that I've had with those individuals, it was almost like they had a mentality, and while I can't remember anybody ever looking at me and directly saying this, but the mentality expressed in their words and their actions is, I've done enough. Well, you know, your past righteousness does not give you a continual sanctification and a continual meet for the master's use. Back in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 33, 12 and 13, therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in that day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust in his own righteousness and commit iniquity, All his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity hath committed, he shall die for it. I think people miss that. They think, you know what? I've done some good things in my life, and I've built up enough stock. And this is where, you know, the false teachers out there on the grace-only side get this wrong. This is where the balance of grace and works comes into play, where the faithful Christian recognizes we could never, on our own works, work our way to heaven. I could never do enough things to make it right. I need God to do his part. The balance is God doing his part doesn't alleviate me from my part. I'm still supposed to do good works and am still saved by good works. I'm not saved by grace only, and I'm not saved by works only. I'm saved by a combination of both. And the Lord's done the heavy lifting there, because no one of us could ever go to the cross and take away the sins of the world. I think most people understand that. Excuse me. But there are people that get a sense of entitlement. I'm a Christian. I'm a member of the church. Heaven is already mine. No, that's not the truth. The end is salvation, 1 Peter 1 and verse 9. As long as you're alive in this world, you have not obtained salvation. Even in Hades, you've not obtained salvation. You know, salvation is entering into eternal life. That's in reference to heaven, not paradise. Think on that for a moment. And while you're thinking on that, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him and well-doing as unto a faithful creator. The righteous are scarcely saved? That being the truth, if you're examining yourself and you're not very profitable, you're not very meat for the master's use, and you know, this is where individual has to sit down and examine their own life. Take into consideration things like the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Some people are more capable than others. So the question is, are you doing what you are capable of doing? What you are able to do. Not what you wish you were able to do, but what you are actually able to do. If not, what kind of vessel does that make you? If you're sinning and you're sitting among people in the body of Christ in sin, don't you recognize that you're the dishonorable vessel? Isn't it time to change that? When Paul was at the near end of his life, he writes to Timothy, and in 2 Timothy 4:11, he said, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he's profitable to me for the ministry." Are you profitable for the work? Are you created in Christ Jesus unto good works? Ephesians 2:10. Titus 3:14. Let ours learn also to maintain good works for the necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Where are you? When the Lord opens his cupboard, and you sit there, are you cracked and broken? Are you useful or useless? Would you examine yourself? Would you ask yourself this? Are you a vessel at all in the Lord's body? Are you in the Lord's body? Majority of the time, honest people that aren't saved, they know that. So if you're listening to this lesson and you're thinking, "Oof, I'm worried," let me help you with the scriptures to get right with the Lord. Let me help you through the scriptures to be a vessel that is honorable and sanctified and meat for the master's use. Let me help you. You could call me at 915-525-5794. Email me at brian@wordsoftruth.net. If you're anywhere in my area, I'm in El Paso, Texas. Meet with you in person. If you're not, I can use Skype. I have an iPhone. I can FaceTime you. We can talk in different ways. I'll take the time necessary to help you understand how you individually, see, the thing about lessons like this is they're broad. It's up to the individual to make the application. I could get to know you and help you to understand how you can make that application through the scriptures, not the opinion of Brian. My conversations with you would be a lot like this lesson. We'd be looking at the scriptures. And I would, with patience and long-suffering and mercy, help you to learn to be an honorable, sanctified vessel for the Lord. Appreciate you listening and tuning in. Would love to get some feedback from you. If you're listening, like to know if these podcasts are helping you. Thank you very much for your time, and appreciate the opportunity to be part of the teaching process in your life. Tuesday, there'll be a podcast. The plan for the podcast on Tuesday is going to be about the idea of having a friendly debate with a false teacher. So I hope you'll tune in and listen to that. Thank you very much.